I'm going to be beginning tonight a new series on Wednesday nights that I have with you on the subject of Christian liberty. If there was ever a subject that has been promoted more and understood less, it's the theme of Christian liberty. I hope that you'll join me in turning to Galatians chapter 5 tonight, because in verse 13, actually in verse 1 and verse 13, we have some thoughts from the Apostle Paul by pen of inspiration concerning liberty. Christian liberty is a biblical title and understanding. But we have to understand the parameters and the limitations of Christian liberty if we're going to fully understand what the Bible teaches concerning that. If I were to ask you for a definition tonight of Christian liberty, I would imagine that we would have as many opinions as people that would give theirs. What is Christian liberty? Christian liberty is freedom from the curse of the law. Not freedom from the law, but freedom from the curse of the law. How are we delivered from that? Through Jesus Christ's atoning death on the cross of Calvary. Set at liberty to do what pleases Christ. All right? Freedom from the curse of the law, set at liberty to do as Christ pleases. I want you to notice verse 1, and then we're going to read verse 13 together. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Now notice, please, the caveat. Wherewith Christ hath made us free. So who sets the parameters on liberty? Christ does. Verse 13. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Another caveat is given to us here. It says we have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for what? An occasion to the flesh. So what should our understanding be? I have been saved to serve others. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, I pray that You would work in our hearts tonight as we consider the theme of Christian liberty. Lord, I pray that You would give us a biblical understanding, not just accepting of our own opinion of what Christian liberty is, but Father, look to Your Word and to be able to understand it. I pray, Father, that You would encourage us, that we might enjoy the liberty that You have provided for us, but understand that it's not Christian license, but liberty to do what Christ pleases. And I pray, Father, that You would help us to be built up in the faith tonight, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, there are four major spheres of Christian liberty that I want us to kind of embed in our thinking before we actually get into questions that you need to ask yourself in the realm and understanding of Christian liberty. And we're going to be looking at several passages of Scripture over the weeks and months ahead as we go through this particular study. But I want you to know the four spheres of Christian liberty. Number one, it's the sphere of God Himself. He is the one who prescribes the limits of the liberty that His Son has given to us. We have to understand that He's the authority. He's the one. Just like a parent in the home, you prescribe the parameters of the liberty of your children. Whenever our children were small, we prescribed the limits of their things. They couldn't go outside the fence without permission. All right, we kept the gates closed, and we had little clips on it, and we said, you don't go outside the gate without permission. Now, when they got older, we said, all right, you can ride your bike down the street, but don't go past the stop signs. We set out parameters, and we expected them. We said, you can go up to the school or go up to the track, and we'll be watching for you. We set parameters for them. They had as much liberty as lived between the parameters. And you have as much Christian liberty as God has dictated in His Word. That's troubling to some people. Some people, in their minds, when they come to Christian liberty, say, well, I can do whatever I want to do. I'm a Christian. I'm free from the law. Oh, happy condition, you know, as we sing. But you have to understand, we have not been freed from the law. You know, the law says, thou shalt not steal. Mr. O'Pager, have you been freed from that commandment?
No.
You have not. So you can't go steal hubcaps tonight off of the... They can't steal hubcaps off the cars tonight, all right? The Bible says you're not to bear false witness against your neighbor. Miss Beth, have you been delivered from that commandment? Still in the Bible, isn't it? So what does it mean, free from the law? It means free from the curse of the law, because the law is unbending. The law is set. I can't bend the law to fit my parameters. The law is set. And when I come up against the law, I find that I'm a failure. I can't keep the law. But who kept the law perfectly? Who? Jesus Christ. Who sets the dictates of Christian liberty according to verse 1? Stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith who? Christ hath made us free. So that means He set the boundaries of Christian liberty. That means they can be found in His Word. Principles upon which to understand the liberty that I have. I don't have liberty to do whatever I want to do. I have liberty to please my Savior. Whereas before, I could not please God because I, first of all, was not His child. I could not please God. And secondly, I had to hear and then exercise faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? The Word of God. So there had to be those steps that took place. And then whenever I am saved, I am delivered from the curse of the law, because before I did not have enough righteousness to meet the demands of the law. But in Christ, I meet every jot and tittle of the law. I've been put into Him. Does that mean that I'm perfect? No. It means my standing is perfect. My state is another question. That's where I submit to the Word of God, and I allow God to work to bring me to the place where my state is equal to my standing. That's what we call sanctification. That's where God's working in our hearts, and He's bringing about in our lives to the place where one day when we stand before Him, our state will equal our standing in Christ. That's the completion of our salvation. That's the day we're all yearning for, amen? To be delivered from this body of death and this whole sinful flesh, and we're going to stand with Him in a new body, and our state will then equal our standing. You know, there may be a child born into this world, maybe it's a Prince William and his wife, and those children may have rights to the throne according to their standing. But not all of them may have a state equal to that. In other words, they are called prince or princess. They have a title. They have standing. But the state of being a king will be determined later if it ever happens. All right? So it's important for us to understand this principle so that we know and understand the limitations of Christian liberty. Now I'm going to give you the definition again because I think it's important that we all have the same understanding if we're going to go forward. If everybody has a different definition, then we're not all going to end up in the same place. We all have to have the same directions. I've talked to you about GPS. Sometimes GPS will take you to a place. I was supposed to go to a warehouse in Pensacola back last year, and I ended up on this side road, and it was nowhere near the place, and the GPS says, "You are now here." And I'm looking at a fence and an empty parking lot and nothing that even resembles, no signs or anything. "You're now here." And I said, "Thank you. I'm now here, right here, but I'm not where I want to be." So I got on the phone and said, "You're one street off." So I went around the block and I found the place I was supposed to be. But, I thought I had the right directions. GPS was telling me where to turn. And I thought I was going to get there, but I didn't make it. I had to call them and get the right directions to get over to where I was supposed to be. We've got to all be on the same page if we're going to understand Christian liberty. So Christian liberty, again, is freedom from the curse of the law, set at liberty to do what pleases Christ. That's the understanding that I want you to all have as we go forth. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 23 says, "All things are lawful, but not all things are profitable." All things are lawful, but not all things edify. That's very important. You know, I may be allowed to do something, but is it wise to do it? Biblical principles will help me in that regard. To know, hey, that's not a wise thing to do. You need to be careful here. And let God's Word dictate the parameters of what you're allowed to do within the confines of what we now call Christian liberty. The first sphere is God. The second sphere is this family right here, brothers and sisters in Christ. I have a responsibility to you, and you have a responsibility to me. We're to edify and help one another. So if I might have the liberty I feel to go do something, but if I know that it's going to hurt another brother and sister in Christ, Romans chapter 14 is given to us to help us so that we don't injure or we don't offend one of our brothers and sisters in Christ. I want to be careful. I don't want to exercise my Christian liberty to the offense of another brother and sister in Christ. That's the second sphere. This third sphere is one that we don't think about a lot, but it's one that's very important, and that's the unsaved. You know, we're under the careful eye of the unsaved all the time. I love when people come up to me and they say, I thought you folks were Christians up there. It's usually whenever you call them and say, hey, you owe us money. All right? Chris has dealt with this. I've dealt with this over the years where you've called somebody and say, listen, you're going to have to pay your bill, or we're going to have to put your child out of school or learning center or whatever thing. You've got to pay your bill. Well, I thought you folks were Christians up there. And I said, well, you know, Christians have to pay bills too. We have to pay bills too. Gulf Power doesn't say, oh, y'all are Christians. You don't have to pay your bill this month. Try that at Walmart. Pull out your Christian badge. I am a Christian. You don't have to pay. You're a Christian. That doesn't work. Put your stuff in the basket, please, and park it over here. I'm sorry. If you don't have any means to pay, but for some reason, because we have Santa Rosa Christian School, people think, well, those are Christians. I don't have to pay. I'm sorry, you do. It's services rendered. You have to pay for that. So we have to recognize that unbelievers don't always understand, and we cannot exercise our Christian liberty even to the unsaved's offense. We have to be careful in that regard, that we keep them in mind. And then the fourth sphere is yourself. Yourself. Exercising Christian liberty. Am I doing this out of selfishness? Or am I doing this because I genuinely want to help others, or I want to be a blessing and I want to be used of God? Self is a very important, I put it last, but that's something that has to be considered. You need to weigh these things whenever you're going to go exercise your Christian liberty. Wait a minute, is this a selfish act? Well, Pastor, we don't have time to ask those questions. You better take time. Your reward depends upon it. Your reward in heaven depends upon it. What's going to happen to all of the works that were done in the flesh, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 3? The Bible says that the fire of heaven is going to burn them up. Nothing's going to be left. But those things which were done through the Spirit of God, unselfish acts through the power of the Holy Spirit, the Bible says they shall come forth from the fire as gold, silver, and precious stones. That's what's going to do. Those things are unaffected by the fire because they're genuine and real. So these are considerations. We're living in a very fast-moving society today, and we've kind of run past the Bible. That's the problem that we face in a lot of churches all across America. We're running so fast, we run right past this book. And we don't listen to what God has to say. And so we banty the term around, Christian liberty, I'm exercising Christian liberty. I can do whatever I want to do. Whoa, 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 whoa. No. Liberty, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. In other words, He's established the confines of that liberty. Not you, not me, but Christ Himself. And be not again entangled in the yoke of bondage. The yoke of bondage to sin, whereby we are so easily beset. Now there is a seriousness of Christian liberty that I think we need to grasp a hold of. I think a lot of times that the shallow Christianity that we see all around us all the time. This was last week. I was at Walmart, and I just ran in there to grab something to drink. And standing in line there was somebody I know who's a deacon at a local church, and he's holding a big case of beer. And I stood behind him, and I didn't say anything. I just stood there for just a moment, and I kind of creeped over to one side just a little bit so he would see me. And he turned toward me. Oh, hey, Todd! And then the beer case just went behind him like this. How you doing? We'll see you later. As he walked out the door. All right, a deacon in a local Baptist church with a big case of beer. He was exercising his Christian liberty. Boy, we hear that a lot. I want to tell you something. It is all over the internet and blogs and all of these. Everybody's writing a blog these days. All right? If you're not writing a blog line, then something's wrong with you. You're not with it. But I get them all the time. I don't even have a computer. You can't can't blog without one of those. But, you know, everybody's writing about Christian liberty, you know, and having their glass of wine and drinking and all this kind of stuff, you know, and loving Christ and all this kind of stuff and running here and running there and going to this rock concert. And you just listen to that and you say, they don't know anything about Christian liberty. And you wonder, do they even know Christ? Christian liberty is not about me. It's about whom? What pleases Christ? It's outside of myself. It's not here with me. Now, I have the Holy Spirit of God indwelling me, but I belong to Christ. I belong to Him. Why did God take the time to write a Bible and then people set up their own opinions about things and doing their own things without referring to that which is Jesus Christ written? I don't understand that. But somehow we've created this whole Christian liberty world that we live in. And it's not based upon the firm foundation of Jesus Christ. It's based on my personal opinion, what I think about it. And again, the salad bar mentality. I'll go through and I'll pick and choose the things that I want to follow, and the rest of it I'm leaving behind. That's not how we approach the Word of God. The Word of God is for our edification. It's for our learning. It's for our admonition, the Bible says. And so I've got to go to it. If I don't know, I go to this book and I find out what are the principles involved. It's no wonder today that in the Christian community, there are many, especially within the New Calvinist movement, boy, they're adamant. We don't believe in Bible principles. We believe in Bible doctrines. Oh, they love to talk about the doctrines. But we don't believe that we can allegorize ourselves. A lot of the things in the Bible really don't apply to us. God is like a little cloud over us, and whatever I do, He's just forgiving me as I walk around. He walks around with this cloud of forgiveness around me, and I can do whatever I want to do, and He just forgives me of that. And that's not what forgiveness is all about. Isn't it interesting that in 1 John chapter 1, forgiveness and cleansing are joined together, and you'll find that to be true in just about every reference. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Remission means forgiveness of sin. What does it take to remit sin? The shedding of Christ's blood. All right? Forgiveness was an act of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. Through His blood atonement, He has forgiven. But the sinner must repent in order to access that forgiveness. It's just not a carte blanche thing, everybody gets it. Oh no! Repent ye therefore and be converted. That's the message. When you repent and you believe, you receive that forgiveness that was accomplished on Calvary. It's put to your account. But you don't have an account before you're saved. When is the account formed? The moment you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And then His righteousness is put to your account by faith. That's what Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. The righteousness of Christ was put to his account. That's how things work. But Notice righteousness was put to account. Not my righteousness, it's filthy rags, but His righteousness. His righteousness is pure and holy. And what has He said in His Word? Be ye holy, for I am holy. So it comes full circle. Yes, we love the doctrines, but there's also Bible principles by which we live our life that are throughout the pages. Oh, you can find them just about everywhere you go. As you're reading the Bible, even in the historical narrative of 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Chronicles, you will find principle after principle after principle that's played out over time in lives. There's so much to learn from the Psalms, so much to learn from the book of Proverbs. I was telling my young people this morning in Bible class, I said, you know, when God told Solomon, you can ask a request and I'll give it to you. And Solomon asked for what? Wisdom. But you know what went with that? The Lord did not make that wisdom automatic so that every action that Solomon did was a wise action. Because he made very foolish decisions after that. God did not take away Solomon's sovereign will. He had the will. He could exercise that wisdom from God, or he could choose not to exercise that wisdom from God. And I said, the same thing goes to you, young people. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. But it's up to me to choose to use that wisdom. To use that. I remember when I was growing up, Dad had bought us all a little toolbox. And we were responsible for taking care of tools and so forth like that. And Dad came in one time and he had one of his long extensions. And Roger and I, and mostly my fault, had used a hammer on his extension. We were using it for something to pound with. What happens to a long extension when you hammer on one end of it and it's bouncing off metal on the other end? Flattens out. Pop couldn't get his socket on there. And he said, we're not going to use the hammer on my tools anymore. But Dad, that was a perfect length. I mean, to get in there and to hit that, said, yeah, but now I don't have a long extension that I can use anymore. Now, he ended up taking it up to work and took it to a grinder and got it all squared up again because my dad doesn't throw anything away. Do you still have that extension? Yes, he does. We'd have to steal it in order for him to go out and buy him a new one. But anyway, it probably still has the hammer marks on it from when we used it. Now, we weren't using the tools properly. And I'm afraid that over the church, we can put this statement, we're not using Christian liberty properly. We're introducing a whole lot of opinion into that rather than a whole lot of Scripture. And when you take Scripture away and you put opinion in there, what happens to Christian liberty? The L-I stays, but it becomes Christian license. Hey, I've got my Christian license. My daughter was so excited. Dad, I got my license. Okay? And she was so excited. She got her license. Every time we go outside, Dad, can I drive? She's excited about that, you know? Now, all of us, when we were that age, we were excited about getting to drive. We wanted to drive everywhere. Hey, I'll go get the milk, Mom and Dad. Now, you wouldn't darken the door of a grocery store before that time. You didn't even know they existed because you sat in the back seat. Okay? And nobody pays any attention that rides in the back seat. But anyway, you get your driver's license. You get excited about driving places. Are we as excited about driving older folks? Oh, I got to go to Walmart again. Now, you know, some people have to drive hours to Walmart. You live out in North Dakota, South Dakota, you have to drive hours to find a place. Ours is 8 miles from us, and we think it's a 1,000-mile journey. Of course, the way some people drive around here and the craziness that goes on, it takes a long time to get out there, so I understand that. But, you know, oh, I have to go to Walmart. I hate driving in that traffic. We think up excuses not to go. I'll just do it tomorrow. I got to go out that way tomorrow. I'll get it tomorrow. We think up excuses, but teenagers don't. They think up every excuse. 5 times a day, I'll go to Walmart. Okay, why? They're excited about their license. They're allowed to drive. We have to be careful that liberty doesn't turn into license because of verse 13. And we'll close with this. For brethren, Ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, a license to do what the flesh wants us to do. Now, Lord willing, we're going to get into several questions in these four realms: God, brothers and sisters in Christ, unbelievers, self. We're going to look at scripture verses, and we're going to see what God's principles are, questions that you need to ask that will help you to discern Christian liberty. Because, folks, don't you want to honor the Lord? As Jesus said, yeah, I want to honor the Lord. Well, how do you honor the Lord? You obey His commands. You follow His principles that are in His Word. And so that's the secret. Christian liberty is not about me. It's about whom? The Lord Jesus Christ. He set the parameters. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. In other words, in the parameters that He's made us free, stand in that liberty. Oh, it's wonderful. You say, well, I won't get to do the things that I want to do. Well, wait a minute. Is it about you? Or is it about the blessed Lord Jesus Christ? That's the difference. And so we have to have a spiritual view to the Word of God, not a human view. Human view will steer you off in the wrong direction every time. So we're not about Christian license. We're about Christian liberty. And hopefully we can develop some things in that regard.